Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, my next guest, Anne Hallinan, was born with a rare skin condition called CMN. Growing up, she faced staring and comments that chipped away at her self-confidence, but she took her power back and has thrived into her 60s and is now a trustee member of Caring Matters Now Ireland, an Irish and UK charity supporting children and adults living with CMN. And Anne joins me on the line now. Anne, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Claire.
So what can you tell us about life growing up with CMN?
So CMN it's abbreviated for congenital melanocytic nevi, and congenital from birth, melanocytic is the type of cell with the pigment that gives melanin, and nevus is mole in Latin. So it's for me, a newborn baby, I was born with brown moles covering 80% of my body, and they ranged from a small size, from a smaller than a pea, to some of them that are the size of a small orange, to a large extensive pigment growth on the trunk of my body. And growing up with that was quite difficult. My mother, of course, was very protective. You know, didn't want me to be stared at, but of course I was. I got a lot of staring and names thrown at me that were not so nice. And the local GP in the dispensary was, they're just birthmarks. There's nothing wrong with that child. So I kind of, you know, that was what was given to me back in the 60s, 70s, because there was no support there. So it was difficult, but as you said there, you know, I was able to hold on to, you know, aspects of the creative spirit in myself and lean on that, you know, later in my life and know that I was more than my skin condition.
And when did you get the formal diagnosis or understand it was perhaps more than a birthmark? There was a name for it.
Yeah, so I mean, I would have gone through my teenage and early adult life before I got any of that. I went off to America in 1996 with an American company that I worked with. And at that stage, I decided I'm in the right place to go and find out about this. And I did. I went for genetic counseling, and that's where I got the name. But it terrified me. Because I didn't know that I thought I had birthmarks, even though I knew it was deeper than that, but I suppose trying to cope with it all my life, it was birthmarks. And that's where I would have first found it. And then I would have come back to Ireland. But I wasn't ready, you know, to look at it in Ireland. I wasn't ready to look at the UK support group. So when I started training in psychotherapy and drama therapy, I think that's really where I thought, you know, I'm ready for this now. I'm ready to look at it.
Because it must be a very difficult line to tread, Anne, between accepting who you are and how you're born and looking into it a bit further and seeking support. You know, this sort of changing it and accepting it to try and oscillate between the two. Is that sometimes the difficulty?
It is. And I mean, I would have, you know, I would have been doing therapy and talking my way through it, but I could never really accept it as a young adult. I always felt, you know, being stared at, and in relationships, how do I explain it when it comes to an intimate relationship? Am I going to be rejected? So I had all of that, you know, and I had none of the support growing up at an earlier age to be able to maybe, you know, look at that. So as an adult, it was difficult to accept it, but I think I've gotten to that stage. I mean, I'm not fazed by comments or looks anymore. Sometimes I am when I'm in a swimming pool where my body is visual, and people will stare and they'll think, "God, what's that?" But I have a strategy, in there that says, "Okay, Anne, take a deep breath. You know, this is just someone that doesn't know what it is, and you'll be fine." And it might be sometimes a matter of talking to a friend after it, you know, it settles it for me. But as an older adult, yeah, the acceptance has come in. But maybe, you know, for my entire life, there will always be a little bit of, you know, have I fully accepted this? But I think it's a learning, and it's knowledge, and it's support, and it's being connected to people. That is what does all that for me.
Because there's two instincts going on, isn't there? There's the instinct that we all have to fit in and to be accepted. And that's a very normal instinct for us to have. And then, you know, for those staring, I mean, I do think we should be very mindful of how we make other people feel. But again, that can be instinctual. If something jumps out at us, we do tend to have our attention drawn there. But how did that make you feel in the moment? Even now, you say into your 60s, going to a swimming pool, you still have to be conscious that people will be looking at you.
I suppose you have to, like, as I look at it, I have to see that, you know, that there'll always be people that don't know what it is. They're maybe not tuned into different conditions or visual difference. I think, you know, visually, I'll always be challenged by that. But it doesn't stop me from doing the swimming. I think I'll just give you a small story. When I was in secondary school, my principal, the principal in the school, had a chat with my mother and said she wanted me to go swimming, and my mother didn't want me to go swimming. And I think that is, I can still hang on to that I got into that swimming pool, and as a teenager, in spite of all, you know, that was coming at me, and I still continue to do it. So I think I hold on to that, you know, I'll keep doing this, and put the stairs, you know, out there somewhere. And I suppose the more I talk about it, the more, you know, it's education, it's awareness, and, you know, it'll always be there, but I don't need to make it a big thing anymore.
And talk to me about that turning point, discovering psychotherapy and drama therapy, and the difference that made.
Yeah, so I suppose I worked in multinational companies in administration, and I was always getting involved in personal development training courses, and I loved it. I loved that aspect. And I would always find something in there, like, about difference, being different, and making it work for you. That kind of gave me an interest in the psychotherapy part of it. So I studied speech and drama, and I then studied the psychotherapy, and I then married the two with a master's in drama therapy. And I always wanted to use those experiences to help people. When I went into drama, I remember thinking, I want to use this and facilitate drama to help others. So it was always there to help others, but it was me that I was helping a lot in that as well, in the training aspects of it. So I had to go to, you know, a deeper level in the psychotherapy training, and the drama tools that I would have used in my training were particular, you know, for my healing, for my journey, and it was a great way to improve on my confidence and my self-esteem.
And what is it at its essence with drama therapy in particular that makes that difference? As you said, it was multifaceted. There was years of studying, years of personal exploration through psychotherapy and talk therapy. But what is it about drama therapy can make a big difference?
So I suppose with the drama therapy, there's an intention when you're working with a group of people, an intention that it's going to be therapeutic, and that you're going to bring people through the process. The techniques would have been used, like role play, improvisation, a piece of poetry, you know, something like that, where somebody can go play a role, improvise it, and process it, and you process feelings that have come up in a character that you might have played. So, you know, that's what I would have been doing during my training, and I would have used that then in facilitating groups.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It really is. As I mentioned in the introduction, you are a trustee member of Caring Matters Now Ireland, the Irish and UK charity supporting those living with CMN. And you really want to raise awareness of CMN. So what is it that you'd like people to know?
I suppose so the organisation was in the UK since 1997, and it was established in Ireland in 2020. And we have doubled the amount of membership since 2020, and we have, you know, like there's 68% of children up to the age of 10. We have 16% are the age 11 to 18, and 16% are adults. But we're sure that there's others out there, you know, that haven't made contact with the agency. Referrals would come from the National Children's Hospital, or maybe dermatologists. But, you know, people might not be aware of it. A parent with a child or an adult may not be aware of the agency, or they may not be at the stage to even, connect with the services that are offered. I know I wasn't until later in my life. But there's a support there, you know, that a parent, if they have a concern with a child with CMN, that they can avail of. So it's really, I suppose, to just highlight, you know, the awareness more. And as an adult at this stage of my life, that's what I'm doing. If I had the support in my life at an earlier stage, it wasn't possible. But if they were there, I'm pretty sure the decisions that I made would have been quicker than how I made them in my life.
Yeah.
So I suppose. Yeah. That's really the key there.
And I do get what you're saying. You have to reach a point where you're ready to seek that support, but there is nothing like the community of people that really understand where you're at, because they're going through it as well, you know, as well as learning about the different therapies and the different supports. But that sense of community, I think, is so important, you know, for anybody going through any similar condition. But if people want to find out more, they can go to caringmattersnow.ie, and I think they'll be very inspired by you, Anne, to hear you now in your 60s thriving and living life. And I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much, Claire. Lovely to be on the show.
And that website again is caringmattersnow.ie.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna, Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.